Okay, Dan, thanks for inviting me. First and foremost, thanks for inviting me to share your meeting. Just want to say, well done to Johnny. 6 years. Well done to anybody in the room who's got a day, away from this illness. My name's Jamie. I'm a compulsive gambler. Jamie C. I've had no bet today. I've had no bet. It's 15 years since I've laid a bet. In my life, that's a miracle. I came to Gamblers Anonymous 15 years ago, on my knees. On the verge of losing my second family, my kids, everything. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. When I say I've done all the damage, I've done all the damage. And people outside of these rooms don't understand the context of being a compulsive gambler, because it's not really a bad word, is it? People say, oh, I'm a compulsive gambler. They just think that you lose money. For me, my gambling started very young. I gambled probably eight, nine, 10. But my real gambling started when I was 14. My great love of gambling was horses. I don't say that today, but that's what it was back then. From the age of 14, I gambled from the first day I got a wage. From the first day I got a wage, the age of 16. Hook, line and sinker, I was in there. Didn't get enough of it, Couldn't lay enough bets, couldn't win enough or couldn't lose enough. It was everything was a bluff even back then. When I was 16, probably one of the biggest regrets in my life is, I should have played football for a living. And I could have signed professional. But I chose not to, because in the space of the couple of months that I'd been gambling, my head told me I was going to be a compulsive, I was going to be a professional gambler. And I ran with that, within. When I first started work, I was earning about 25, 30 quid a week, £30 a week, and within a couple of months, I put £100 on a horse. I know we shouldn't mention figures, but that was a magnitude of it, just as quick as that, I was in, and I used to say I loved gambling. I used to say I loved it, But the true reality is it stole my life. Stole 35 years of my life. Started when I was 14 and I came to GA when I was 49. And 48 and a half. I couldn't let it go. I wouldn't let it go. The self-knowledge I had of gambling, there's no way I could walk away from it, But when I go back and look at it, the destruction it caused, within my family and I've got five brothers and sisters, I had a big family, I had six brothers and sisters, we lost one. But my dad was a gambler. My dad was a Marine during the war, and he was a compulsive gambler. But his thing would be the coins. He'd look after the school for the coins. He'd look after the school. He'd be the money man. He'd be the guy that looked after the money. And if anybody came, I was hooked, straight away, It was just like an inviting world, promised me everything. The more I thought about it, the more it was going to give me everything that I wanted in life, By the time I got to 18, I remember I was 18. I was 18 years in a few days. And I won enough money to buy a house. I lost that money in 7 days. That was 43 years ago. 40, 45 years ago. But you know, it's just roll from there. You know, once you're in, you know, it's just your money. Or it was just my money. I'd get different jobs, but whenever I was getting jobs, there had to be an angle to every job so I could make more money. Be that legally or illegally. That was part of the game. I'd always take a job where there was always an angle to make more money. And I look back now, and I can look back now and think, during the 90s, probably earning as much money, some people have today, which is insane. It wasn't money to me. It was just a gamble, nothing else. It may as well even printed with a gambling token on it, because it all went there, Time went by, I met my first missus, bought a house, had my son. At 7 years of age, I walked away. Tried to kill myself the first time. I walked away. I knew I was in trouble even then. Never seen my lad for 7 years. Crucified me, absolutely crucified me. The worst thing in my life, next to losing my wife, never seen him for 7 years. And when you've got a big family and stuff, and you're not seeing him for birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that, or the weekends, going to your mum's or whatever. Tough, tough, Nobody knows the extent of the illness when you're in it, people are on about because this is the, for me, this is the illness of isolation. When I gamble on my own, Whenever I gamble, there could be 100 people around about me. It's just white noise. Everything is absolute white noise. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm so focused, and that's it. Nothing else matters. Nothing matters. The times I've won life-changing sums of money. Never enough. Never enough. The true reality is, I didn't understand till I came to Gamblers Anonymous. I've got an illness, And I don't say addiction. I don't say addiction because in the 12 steps of recovery, the first step, the other step, it tells me I've got an emotional illness and a mental obsession. And I truly had to understand that. My sponsor told me, you've got an illness, it doesn't go away. So what are you going to do about it? On the first step, it says we admitted we're powerless over gambling. My life's unmanageable. My life is unmanageable before I went for the bet. Well, it's not about admitting, for me. It's not about admitting I've got this illness, it's about accepting. With acceptance, then I own it. I've got to do something about it, When I came to GA, just prior to coming to GA, I've took my second wife down the same road, it caused chaos in my family, isolated myself and all my family, and I'll be honest, the first meeting I came to in GA, I'd already planned to leave my second, because I tried to get rid of myself, I tried to kill myself a couple of weeks before. I didn't stop being gamble. When I came to GA, listen, I'm blessed the room. I'm blessed for the room that I came to. I'm blessed for the people that was in that room. Who showed me how to get well. Showed me the road, And as much as I thought when I first walked into that first meeting, I knew that's where I needed to be. Also, in my mind, with the ego that I had, I thought everybody in that meeting was around the bend. I thought they're all these people are nuts, But the true reality is it was me that was nuts, I was wild, absolutely wild. And even 12, 14 months into this program, I was still hanging on with my fingertips. I stopped betting. And it's all about the behaviours and stuff with it, and if nothing changes, then nothing's changing, I could see people in this program who were well. I'm thinking, why am I doing hundreds of meetings and I'm not well? It was only when I walked into the steps meeting for the first time, because the meeting I attended was just like a therapy based meeting. I used to attend 2 or 3, 4 a week, most meetings in the UK, probably 15% maybe steps. So it was when I walked in that first step meeting, and I read the first step, to what it told me, I've got an emotional illness and a mental obsession. And that was the light bulb moment for me, just that one paragraph, the first paragraph of the first step. The illness is in my head, the illness. Addiction's a physical thing, drink drugs, overeating, amphetamines, whatever it may be. It's physical. It will break your body down and it will kill you. But compulsive gambler kill themselves. And that's different, That's different. This is the illness of isolation. This is the only illness that tells you you haven't got it. This is the only illness that'll tell you'll sort everything out tomorrow. Going to that meeting, that's when my recovery began, Started working the program proper, The hardest part of the program for me was, step two. I'm getting a higher power in my life, because I abandoned my faith when I was 16. For me, I'm a Catholic. I believe in God. I had to get God back in my life. Each to their own. I don't preach, but I believe in God, and that's okay. So on a daily basis, I've got about the first 3 steps. Accept and also the illness, surrender my belief. And engage with my higher power. But coming to GA, as well as I was, as well as I was doing, still had this niggle at the back of my head, maybe it could be different. But when you see people, I've seen thousands of people come through the doors, and you see people come back through the door and they've gone 2 years and they've gone back out. They've gone 3 years and they've gone back out. I've got a friend of mine who went 14 and a half years, not so long ago, right behind me, and he went back out. It was such a kick up the arse for me, it was like, what, you better not forget, And I said, I don't forget, this. When this illness is all over you, the heebie-jeebies are all over you, you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know your next move. Your next move might put you in prison. That desperado feeling, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. That's when you get to the isolation bit, for me. Being there, especially the second time, second time I would have won more money than I've ever won in my life. I've won some sizable chunks of money. I would have won more money than I've ever won in my life, and the result of that went from winning as much money as I thought I needed to wake up in the hospital a couple of days later to try to get everything for the second time. So absolutely surreal, and there's 10 seconds of madness in amongst that. You either do it or you don't. It's the isolation, I understand it. Today, getting isolated, and that's the worst thing with this illness, And for anybody in this room that's new to the meetings and stuff, don't ever think the people around about you don't care. They care so much, It's just that when you're in this illness, it's all about negativity. It tells you that, nobody loves you, everybody hates you, and all this, that, and the other, But it's not true, If you're in a slough with this, you can't get out. I'm living proof. I came here, the debts I had were astronomical, But you know what? I drove a cab for 14 hours a day. Almost 3 years. Almost 3 years. And my wife, used to take £100 a week. That's all she took, £100 a week. And every other penny went to the IOUs, the money people, the money lenders, And there was a few of them, I actually paid. I used to pay a money line of like 200 quid for a 10 year, because I didn't know much of them. I was that lost in the madness of it. I didn't know really. And then one day they just said to me, you don't owe me nothing. I was in GA at the time, What I'd done is I went and gave him a box of I went and gave him a box of Romeo and Juliet cigars that I got from Cuba, because I'd been to Cuba. I got married in Cuba. His second wife would say she'd never marry because of the gambling stuff. And then one day she, when I was in recovery, she said to me, shall we get married in Cuba? We'd spend within the space of 2.5 months. It was organised. And we got married in Cuba. We took 20 people. Never told anybody we were getting married till the night before. Was magic, it was a magic day in my life, And on my second missus, she truly understood this illness, Because she would see me going to meetings and seeing people, bring people to my house, people who were as thick as me. And sometimes she would think, well, whatever, whatever. And I used to say, then I don't differentiate. The people as sick as me, I'll try and help anybody, I wouldn't wish this illness on my worst enemy. I truly wouldn't, Because when it's all over and you don't know what you're going to do, there's nothing worse, The Regression Guard, the recovery program and the Unity program and GA. It's the only thing that slowed my brain down, Slowed everything down. I met some great people in the rooms. I met, Smokey. A few years ago, most people know who Smokey is. I'll be honest, I thought he was around the freaking bend. First time I met Joe, I thought he was around the bend because there was no meetings. I think it was around about COVID time, and we didn't know what Zoom was. I've never, on Zoom, went on this meeting, and Joe was on there, and it was like, this guy's around the bend, mate. This guy is just around the bend. And then every time I seemed to go to different meetings, he was there, and it wasn't about the voice, it was about listening to the message, It was about listening to the message, and eventually we started a few different meetings with Joe and stuff, and we still did the Step Zero meeting, which for me, for anybody in this room, have a drop into Step Zero, because not understanding the concept of being a compulsive gambler and not understanding how you're going, you're stopping gambling and then going back out again. People think you walk into GA and they're on step one. You can't be on step one unless you've accepted your powerless over the nonsense and surrendered your belief. You can be in the rooms and you can be in, I mean, step one is only ever going to give you abstinence. It's only going to give you abstinence, nothing else. It's only by working the program, getting a higher power in your life, And engaging whatever the God you believe in, and tells you, you've got to hand your will and life over. Who am I handing my will of my life over to? It can't be a person in the street, it can't be a person in GA. For me, it had to be God, And it's not just handing me will over, it's handing me life over and trusting, and on a daily basis, as I came to the program with the grace of God, as I said, the recovery and the unity steps, I have another bet, that's a miracle. That's an absolute miracle. Lost my wife a few years ago. Prior to that, we had adopted a little, and I've got 3 lads. Got 3 grandkids. They were great. We adopted a little one about 8.5 years ago. She's from my wife's side of the family. And my missus passed away a few years ago. Absolutely. Crucify me early on, kill and the worst day in my life. And everybody around about me, I think it was 8 years, 8.5 years without a bet. Everybody around about me thought I was going to crash out. But I can honestly say, at no stage of the game was I going there, No stage of the game, what was that going to happen, I know if I go back there, I won't make it back here. That's my truth. Because as a compulsive gambler, there's only one number and it's zero. It always ends up at zero, and just spoke a bit for that step hero thing with Joe Rose, and that's about the concept of understanding. You keep doing the same things, you can only get the same result. For me, that was me. For the last 15 years of me gambling, I was absolutely insane. I came to Gamblers Anonymous insane, where it says in the literature it will return you to sanity. You've got to be insane to be returned to sanity. That's where I'm today. I've been returned to sanity, and that's a great gift, But just talking about my wife and with the little one we adopted, I see her as my blessing, I see her as my blessing. She was 12 a couple of weeks ago. She's just gone to big school, secondary school, Brooklyn. I'll give her the chances that I never gave me lads, And that still haunts me, But the greatest thing is I've got me three lads in my life, and I've got all my brothers, my sisters in my life today. I've got everything in my life I should have, and it's only, and that's the gifts of GA, Gave me great friends within the fellowship, gave me great friends around about me, and it's gave me a life and a purpose, listen, I love GA. I absolutely love GA because, it changes people's lives. It gives people a chance to be who they want to be. It gives them choices, and no early doors have to be told stuff, People say, you can't be telling people whatever, whatever. But listen, if somebody doesn't tell you, how are you going to know? Somebody say to me, you've got to, it's a suggestive program. And it's suggestive you don't do it, you're not going to get well. That's the truth, And you say to me, the worst thing that could probably happen to you is you might actually get well if you do it. And that's where we've got to today, But for me, it's a day at a time. It's a one day program. It's a one day program. Absolutely one day. And it's a hard thing to understand because when you read the just for today's and it's just for today, and it can only be for today because nobody knows what's tomorrow, what's around the bend tomorrow, But for me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with what I've got. I'm not wishing and wanting. I'm not wishing and wanting. I don't. I'm grateful for what I've got, not what I think I should have, And as long as I stay in these rooms, I don't live in fear of the illness today, and that's the truth. Truly, but I don't fear this illness today, and that's not being blasé or anything. If I go to this program tomorrow the same way as today, I'm not having a bath. It's got to be that way because this comes first, so everything else can come along behind it. Because if I don't do this, the rest of it will fall apart very quickly. And it's not about having the best. It's not about having the best. It's about the illness within. It's the trait. It's all the it's the behaviors. The behaviors come. They'll come back very quickly. All the negative stuff. The knocking at people. The lying. The deceit. The cheating. All the bad stuff. That's when I came to GA. I thought I was actually an okay guy. I was a liar, a thief, a sneak, a rat, a snake, a fraudster. I was all the bad things. But today, I'm none of them things. People can say anything about me today. And they still make talk about me as a gambler, whatever, whatever. It's like rubber bullets, it just bounces off me. Doesn't affect me. I'm not that person today. And that's only through, as I say, through the grace of God and the recovery and the unity steps in GA. So I'm blessed. And I'm blessed to be able to come and speak on a meeting like this. So thanks, Dan. Thanks for letting me share, Jamie. The hopes of gambling. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, Jamie, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I'm so glad it's recorded because I was a little busy in between. I couldn't hear the whole thing, but I'm definitely going to listen to it once it's up. Really appreciate your service here and thank you for being with us. You're not quite done yet because we do have the second portion of the meeting where we do comments and questions. And I do want to start off by apologizing and making my amends to Smokey Joe because apparently when he was introducing you, somehow my computer or my sound went off. And I didn't hear it. And I also want to thank all the members in the group that let me know about that and told me that, I was kind of didn't work out that way. It was completely unintentional, a higher power deal, whatever that was. But I'm sorry, Smokey. And actually, as we go through, if you have any comments or questions for Jamie, please put up your hand like Joseph M. and Johnny has. But We're going to start off and we're going to be with Josephette, Smokey Joe, AKA. Please come on in. And do you have something to say for, and I'm going to ask you to start your video too, if you like. Again, I apologize, Joe.
Yeah, I don't apologize. You hear me now?
And now I can hear you.
Okay. I want to say a couple words about Jamie first that we didn't get. Sub-Zero, you got to come see. Everybody thinks it's me. No, it's a team. It's me. It's Jamie. It's Denise. It's Patricia. It's Patsy. So proud of Patsy. If you want to drive the car straight, you're going to come to Sub-Zero. You want to go backwards when you go back, go to different meetings. Go to meetings that got a lot of crowd, but don't have recovery. What Jamie does, and Jamie didn't even tell me he was speaking today. He had me, I spoke for 45 minutes in New York. At his time, he got up at midnight. Abernake at 4 o'clock in the morning working with him. He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, you share me some notes? What Jamie does in a live meeting that I have never heard of this ever. In all the meetings I've been to live in many conferences and national conferences, he puts 21 books on the table. UK has 21 books. Anybody that comes to Sub-Zero, they get 21 books on a PDF, or they get more books from me. But the key with Jamie was Frank. Frank was the one that I started Sub-Zero, and Frank gave me the opportunity. Then the schedule conflict. And Jamie said, hey, why don't we take it all over here? But the key with Jamie is it's not Smokey. Every Sub-Zero meeting, Jamie puts something on the screen with me that implicates what we're talking about. And we break down. I mean, you talk about a set meeting, we have a set meeting every time we go to Sub-Zero. We break down. All depends who's there. Another thing about Jamie, he lost his wife 4 years ago at Christmas. I believe it's 4 years ago, Jamie, 4 years ago on Christmas. And he never looked back, and he adopted that big girl, China. I used to tease her about the dolls all the time, and she got riled up. But another thing is his soft-spoken mentor. You know, I got a deep voice, and people think I'm a big bear, but if you meet me, I guess there's a little heart inside there. The question I got for you, Jamie, why do you think people are educated and leave Sub-Zero after they've been there? And Patsy, we're so proud of you. 27 days. We're so proud of Patsy from Ireland. 27 days after 47 years. He's going to make 1 year. Love you, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks for the question. You know, I think, you know, for me, my experience in GA is people get a year, 2 year, and they think they're okay. I think they can manage it themselves. I've actually been looking at the stats of the UK whenever there's open meetings online, for there's quite a lot of open meetings up and down the country. And there's always 1 year, 2 year pins. There's not many 3, 4, 5 year pins. Seems to be people get to that bit where they think they're safe. You know, unless there's no abstinence is not a safe zone. You know, recovery's every day, you've got to work on it each day. You know, you've got to, you know, step one will only give you abstinence. And you can run with abstinence for a while. But eventually the bad day in life will come. Something will come and twist your head, bend your head, and it'll send you back. You know, because that's how we deal with stuff, that's compulsive gambling. So yeah, thanks for that, Joe. Thanks.
That was great. Thank you both for that. And we have Johnny and then Frank. And congratulations, Johnny C, on 6 years today. Thank you so much for being with us so we can celebrate with you.
Thanks very much, Dan. Thank you, Jamie, for that wonderful share. Thank you for everything I've learned off you, to be honest. You're one of the kind of, I suppose, mentors I looked up to. I could really relate to an awful lot of things you speak about. It went, please God, from my head to my heart. You know what I mean? I was attracted to it, and you have so much wisdom, so much passion for this program. It's phenomenal, to be honest. I want to thank you for all you do, not just for me, but for so many others. Unheard of and heard of and this and that, know that you're a pillar of strength, you know what I mean? And it's so wonderful to know you. Thank you again. I have a question, quite a deep question, but I think that the question is for someone like you, to be honest. What can we do to the young, for the young people, Jamie? What can we do to try and reach out to them, to try and de-glamorize gambling as it's kind of put in their face if they watch big sporting events or this or that or whatever else? Do you think there's anything like, I don't know, if you had, I don't know, an idea, what would it be, please? Thank you. And thanks for everything. Congratulations on 15 years. Phenomenal.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for the question. Thanks for you. Well done on your time as well. I mean that. Fantastic 6 years, fabulous. For the young member, listen, it's so difficult. I remember being in the bookies when I was 25, 35, 45. It's just a time scale, and it went so quick, I mean, the problem today in modern society, gambling's been normalised into society. Absolutely been normalised. It's scary. I mean, scary that whenever any events on the television, be it, rugby or American football, whatever. If you're in a, I don't know, if you go a setting where it's on the telly, those are young people, the first thing they do as soon as somebody scores on any of the events, the first thing they do is they get the phone up to go to the next bets. First thing they do is pick the phone up and next bet. It's moved that quick. The gambling industry has moved so quickly, and because they've put it online, which nobody can shut down, and they know that. In this country, in the UK, the worst thing ever used to be the fob tee machines called a fixed off. And fixed off is betting terminal. It's basically it's a casino. You can walk in the bookies, and it can become a casino. Any game you want, any casino game. And there used to be, they used to be able to put £100 on each thing. And people thought it was great because they reduced it to £2. But in the back, what the gaming industry does is they've stuck everybody online where they can gamble £1,000 a go, £10,000 a go. Nobody sees it. Society does not see what's happening here. Especially, women. Women are hiding. In the UK, women, are very slow coming. I don't mean in the wrong way. They're not coming forward, and but for young people, mate, it's, when you've got young kids coming in your meetings, they're going to university. I mean, there's a young kid coming in a meeting, going to university, he got his bursary at 12 o'clock, and by 12:08, he had done his bursary. How can you stop that? But you're fighting a billion-dollar industry, that's it's speeded the whole thing up as well. You don't get time to think. Back in the day, you might have done stuff like Malika did with the horse racing every half an hour. Now, they're going from that one to that one. They're not allowing you to think. So it's the next bet, the next bet, the next bet. And there's no morals to it. There's no morals to the gaming industry. They should be shut down for some of the stuff they've done, because there's people dying every day. There's more people dying in this country, the UK, every day with gambling than there is any other addiction. But they don't die. They kill themselves. But the problem with it is you try and go look for the stats and the figures. So manipulated by the gaming industry. They control all the narrative. And the only facts and figures you get is for England and Wales. We're not talking about Scotland and Ireland where there's the same amount of people dying again, But as I say, they're not dying, they're killing themselves, which is scary. But it's this, it starts very young and try to do a bit of stuff with a body called YGAM, which is for the younger gambler, under 18, because a lot of it's coming from these games, Fortnite, FIFA football, Roblox, because they're making them buy skins and the next football, and then they're making them buy the loot boxes and all of that. They're grooming the next generation of me, in plain sight of everybody. They're grooming the next generation of me, and I don't know how to. I honestly don't know how we're going to. How it's going to be stopped. I'll be honest with you. It's a monster. It really is. But thanks for the question, John.
That was beautiful. Thank you both for that. And we're going to move on to Frank and then Pat. Hey, Frank.
Hey, everybody. Hello. This is Frank S., grateful, recovering, compulsive gambler. I didn't look at my day count today, but it's been since January 22nd, 2011. I'm in the class of 2011 with Jamie. We're right there. And congratulations on the 15-year milestone. And thank you for all you do, for all your service. I'm going to get back to you, Jamie, in a second, but I want to acknowledge Johnny too, and his 6 years, and Johnny and you, Jamie too, and Smokey Joe were such an integral part of our early meetings when COVID came over 6 years ago, and it was so great that you guys branched off and are kind of helping those that struggle, the relapsers. An amazing meeting, the service, the dedication, your marathon meeting, all that you do. Thank you. But Johnny, thank you for keeping the faith, showing us what's possible, just working this program a day at a time. That's all we got. And Jamie, thank you for being a mentor to our good friend Smokey, and keeping him on the straight path, and Denise and all the others that show up at your regular meetings. I know the impact you've had, and just like Dan alluded to earlier, sending out those inspirational messages on a regular basis. I'll apologize to you. I do get a lot from a lot of different people all the time, so I don't read them all, but from time to time I catch up at once. But the thoughtfulness, the time it takes to do that means a lot to me. And your shares over the years, showing up here when being asked to speak, and giving your experience, strength, and knowledge, which is a lot. And you've been through some very difficult challenges. I'm kind of in the same league with you after my partner passed away 9 months ago after being together for 10 years. And about 11 days ago, my brother-in-law, GA, married to my sister for 18 years. She had died 10 years ago, and he passed recently, and it was over 34 years in our program. And tell us about, when you were going through your challenging time with the loss, how the program helped get you through it. The tools, of course, the steps, but the fellowship as well. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, man. Thanks for all you do as well, mate. Because I know early doors you were into getting the Zoom meeting. I didn't even know what Zoom was until I came. And there was already up and running with yourself and different people. So yeah, much thanks for that. Because I don't know where they would be. Because I don't know where people went. I don't know where people went when COVID came. If there's no meetings, I don't know where people went to. I truly don't. I don't know how they got well. I had to be in a meeting, and it was ended up I was on Zoom, But yeah, the challenge, listen, the challenge is when something tragic happens in your life, For me, this program is bulletproof, This program gives you answers to everything that happens in life, everything. It gives me the peace, serenity to say, I'm grateful that I was with my wife for 27 years. I'm grateful I had that time. I'm grateful she's seen me 8.5 years into recovery. I'm blessed. I've still got all my kids in my life. I've got to look at the positive, but this illness will just talk about the negative. I've got to think about the good times, but the bad times are back then. It's within the fellowship. Obviously, people in the rooms knew what had happened and stuff, and it's a great thing because people come to you and let you know what, you're going to be all right. You're going to be tough for a while. You'll get back on track. And that's what happens, you know, the program, you know, I know, you know, the gift I got was my little, you know, and through her, I'll do the right by my wife, you know. She's my gift, you know, and I'll do the best I can to honor her, you know, and that's only because I've got a program in my life, and it's every day. It's got to be every day, you know, and, you know, I can run away and hide if I want. That's not optional. That's what I used to do, you know. You know, with this illness, you know, you've got to go through it. You can't go around it. You've got to go through it. There's going to be tough times. I know that. There's going to be tough times for everybody in life, you know, and just being able to deal with them and be at peace. Just be at peace with yourself with it, you know. And that was the key. Being at peace with myself. You know, it wasn't poor me, poor me. You know, it was, you know, I'm blessed. All the time I had spent with my missus, you know, and that was it really. Thanks, Frank.
Beautiful. Thank you both for that. And here we come to Patsy. Okay, Patsy.
Hi, Jamie. I just want to say thank you. I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for Step Zero and for you and for Smokey and for Denise and for all on Step Zero. I'm just thankful. I know I've got a long way to go. I know it's one day at a time, but what I've learned from Step Zero is that I have got an emotional illness. I am a broken bus and I gotta keep coming back. And I was so looking forward to hearing your testimony tonight. And thank you so much for all that you do. I am so thankful because I am not a walking zombie anymore. Well, I am a wee bit with a zombie hand, but I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. I've got so much gratitude. So thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful, Patsy. Thank you so much for that. Very kind words. And we have Mr. George C. next. Hi, welcome, George.
Thank you. Thanks for the share, Jamie. I wanted to ask you if you give us your take on maybe overthinking things too much, or starting over again, or knee-jerk reactions, or not having enough confidence in myself. If you could work on that, fine. If not, I totally understand. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, George. Good to see you, mate. Overthinking is the biggest thing for people because of the compulsive numbers. We overthink everything. We catastrophize everything. You know, we catastrophize everything. And it's, you know, there's a bit in the writing of steps. It's in the writing of steps. It talks about that, about catastrophizing stuff, and it breaks it down to say, it's just in your head. It's just in your head. It's not going to happen. It's just in your head, you know. And it doesn't. Your thoughts don't have to be your actions, type thing, you know. And I know exactly what you're saying because I've got a mole on my back. And I woke up one day and I swear to God I had it. And I was looking in the mirror, trying to look behind me to look in the mirror. I'm going, I'm sure that's great. Before you know it, I'm phoning the doctor and everything. You know, I'm thinking worst case scenario. You know what I mean? When stuff happens, is I think sometimes you just have to let stuff happen rather than thinking that we've got to be, have an input into it, you know, because we think if we have our input, it's going to go wrong. But that's the trait of a compulsive gambler because we're built on negatives. When we're in action and we're being beaten up every day, you know, for years and years and years, we're running with negatives all the time. Everything's a negative. You know, it can only become a positive when we. Well, in the step zero, there's a reading in the step zero that says, if nothing changes, nothing will change. If I don't change, then my abstinence state will. And I love that line because it means I've got to work again. I've got to work on the next day. You know, and sometimes you just have to let stuff go. The hardest thing is just to let stuff go, you know, and well, the big man will sort it out, you know, for me, you know. But listen, thanks for your question, George. Much appreciated. Thanks.
Beautiful, both of you. Thank you so much. And so we don't seem to have any more hands. Is there anybody else that has a question or comment for Jamie? And possibly not, but I'm going to wait a couple more seconds just in case. And once again, I can't wait to hear your the recording because I was just a little bit busy doing other things. So I apologize about that, but I.
Danny, Jamie, break down what climbing the steps is, the new meeting, and it's going to be implicated with a major poster, which I have somebody working with me. And break down your opinion. And Johnny, congratulations. I knew it was soon, man. You're 6 years. And you start repping 25 reps. I just did 70 reps with the dumbbells for you the other day. And my shoulder's about 70%. So you keep repping, Johnny. Johnny was with me in my first week in a fellowship in Recovery Road. So, Jamie, break that down for your opinion to help people. They think we're absolutely goofy with Sub Zero and climbing the steps, the new.
Yeah, thanks. So,
Which is
listen,
Thursday. Go ahead.
listen. Climbing the steps is just getting back to the basics, you know. It's getting back to basics. It's got to be about the basics. The whole program is about the basics. Building the foundation. It's got to be. Listen, I can get 11 steps wrong every day. I can't get the first one wrong. You know, I can't get the first one wrong because it's all over, you know. But just something. You know, George said before, you know, people come, you know, about catastrophizing and stuff. People come to GA and they get 1 year, 2 year, and they disappear. Instead of somebody in the room saying to them, listen, you've done 2 year and you crashed out. You know, if I'd told you 2 years ago you're not going to have a bet for 2 years as a compulsive gambler, you would have took that, wouldn't you? You know, it's progress. It's not perfection. Nobody's perfect. You know, nobody's perfect. And you know, I ain't perfect. I'm the same as everybody in this room. You know, and listen, I've got two friends. One was 14 and a half year. One was 15 year. Who went back out. So I know this is where. I know there's a trap door to this. You know, and but it's, you know, people come to meetings and you know, I used to think in the UK we have what we call the Orange Bible, which is the book I had for the first year. You know, and it's all in there. But you know, when you go and actually read the literature, like the 12-step literature, you know, in the UK there's an A4 booklet just on step one. The greatest piece of literature GA has ever produced. It's the greatest piece of literature GA has ever produced. For anybody who can download it free from the website in the UK, for free. And it only talks about the first step. Two parts of it, not just admitting I'm powerless over gambling. It talks about acceptance that I'm powerless over gambling and that my life's unmanageable. And it prompts you to do the work to find out why your life's unmanageable and different stuff. And it's about building the foundations, you know. And listen, for me, it took me a year to do step one. It took me a year to do step one. You know, and I know people within the program live in fear of step four. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. You've done a lot worse when you were out there gambling, done a lot, you know, there's nothing to fear in step four. You know, my sponsor used to say to me, write two sentences a day. Just write two sentences a day, and at the end of the month, we'll go through it. We'll have a few paragraphs and we'll go through it. And it was brilliant, you know. There's no pressure, you know, because I know some people. As a compulsive gambler with being very impatient, you know, I wanted to run through the steps. I wanted to run through them. But this ain't a quick fix, you know, it's a process. And it's bulletproof. It's absolutely bulletproof. If you do the work, you will not bet. The hardest part of the program is the personality change from within. You know, getting kindness, generosity, decency in your life, you know, treating people right and, you know, being there for the next person, you know, and giving back because, you know, it was given freely to me and I've got a duty of care to give it back to the next person, you know, because whether I like that person or not, I'm here to pass the message to let them know what you can get well, because there's a pattern in literature that says your worst enemy will be your biggest teacher. And that's true. Because when I came into fellowship, I used to be at loggerheads with the people who were in the steps meetings. Because where I came from, it was a sort of them and us, they were doing a different program. And the person within that that I used to have serious loggerheads with, probably one of my best friends in GA today. And she's a lady. And that's a fact. So, yeah, but the climbing the steps thing, it's just showing people the process. It's a process. It takes a lot of time. If you go slow, you will get well. There is no quick fix. It's a proven track. It's got a proven track record, the GA program. But you've got to do it the way it's laid out. You can't do step one, two, and three, and then think you're on step 12 or step nine. It takes a wee bit of time. So thanks, Joe.